Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I'm your host, Deb Wolf, and with me today is Stacy, the Mutt Man. Welcome back to the show, Stacy.
Hey, Deb. Thank you. It's my honor and pleasure to be here, and hopefully we can pass along a few kernels of knowledge on how to communicate with our pet.
Well, I watched your video. I looked on your website since the last week when we spoke and we first met on air. And one thing, yeah, I heard you say right at the beginning that I want to tell people right now because I totally agreed with it. You said, I think you said 70 or 80% of your job is training the humans. Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, people aren't, they don't quite understand animal dog psychology, and it's something that should be taught in school, but it's not. Trying to get across to people how animals communicate is the big thing, what drives their mind, and that animals actually sense through communication. They sense the vibration of life. Everything an animal does, including it's why there's this vibration of life. It's why animals are still in touch with the planet. They know when earthquakes are coming, storms are coming. Bats use this energy to fly in a pitch dark cave. Homing pigeons use it to fly home.
Last week we had just enough time to start on this, and we sort of got to the example of the person who stands there with a very stiff, almost snarl of a smile because they're late for work and their dog won't come and they're annoyed and irritated and they're standing there and their body language is saying, oh, I'm so angry, and their voice is saying it and their face is saying it, and the dog's walking around the park with that I can hear you kind of walk, and you see it, right? You see it. So, okay, how would you fix that, Mutt Man?
Exactly. Well, the biggest thing I do to actually project this energy, this vibration, well, first of all, the vibration within a human being is called emotion. It's an energy. And each emotion carries a separate vibration. And the idea is that because an animal, especially a pack animal like a dog, they have to sense a strong vibration coming from you, confidence and pride, and to project
direction,
this vibration.
Right? I got to know what I'm doing, or else what are they going to hang around and wait for me to decide?
Exactly. Well, what happens to the dog is they try to lead because they don't sense you leading, and they jump into what we call the excited state of mind. Excited state of mind, they get an endorphin release, and when they get up in there in that euphoric endorphins, that's where all their problems come from. So I teach.
You know, when you talk about the endorphin rush and all that, some people listening may have seen a dog. Maybe it was like behind a fence or lunging out at them as they walk to work or something like this. A really scary dog. And sometimes when you look at that dog's eyes, it's almost as if you can see them change color. They go from brown or whatever color they are to black. And that is because that dog has got so much coursing through his veins, his pupils are actually dilating. And I think that's what you're talking about right now, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And most of that is out of fear. Most aggression in a dog is fear, because they're concerned about their survival, and they haven't got a leader. And if somebody comes along, they just immediately, I better try to take care of this because I know the human I'm with can't do it. And this is what brings on this fear aggression. The problem is whatever a dog learns in its first year, it will use that its whole life to try to survive. If it's fear, if it's aggression, cute. There's a lot of dogs that use cute.
Yeah, totally. You see the pugs that stick out their tongue because they know it works.
Yeah, for those that it works for, yeah. They keep using it. See, and their minds just re-trigger and lock into whatever they've been using. And the key here is to ratchet the dog's mind through any problems, any psychological problems they have about their concerns for survival. And attaining what we call calm, assertive attitude to let the dog know we're in charge, attach these confident emotions, strong emotions, to this thing we call intention. What you project with your intention is what the dog gives back. If you're confident in being a leader, they'll be confident and let you lead.
Okay, so this person at the park probably had their dog drag them to the park, probably had the dog set the pace, the direction, even when they went, probably hurried them through getting ready, probably didn't let them stop when they wanted to tie their shoelace nicely or talk to a friend, was probably a really annoying, rude leader all the way. And then the person, relieved to not be pulled anymore, let the dog off leash, expecting it to come back. So there's our first issue, right? The leadership all the way there and before the walk, because off-leash walking is a pretty big reward for a dog to gain after being rude, I would say.
Yeah. And the thing about the walk is what people have to understand is human beings are subject to the laws of choice. We have a choice to go on a walk. We can get some sun, clear our mind, lose some weight. But what people don't understand about dogs is mm-hmm. The walk for a dog is about the hunt. The hunt is about food. Food is about survival, and the pack leader leads the hunt. They don't go in front of the pack leader unless pack
right.
leader gives permission.
Mm-hmm. We only have 1 minute left in this segment, but that's okay because we're coming back right after with Sandy, the Mutt Man. We're going to find out where you can catch his live show, how you can find out how to train your dog the way he teaches online. And we're also going to, I'm going to put to him, if it's true that a dog kind of goes back habitually to what he learned in the first year, then how come I can train old dogs new tricks? I'm sure he'll tell you why when we come back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Anytime you're near, I
love you. When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Radio with your host Deb Wolf, and with me is the Mutt Man, Stacy. And we were just talking about, okay, so if a dog learns a lot in the first year, everything he needs to know, really, then how can you teach him new tricks later? And why is that first year so important, Stacy?
Well, if they can come out of that first year calm, balanced, then it makes things a lot easier as they live and go along. But unfortunately, during that first year, people don't realize that one human year in the first year of a dog's life is equal to 12 or 13 human years. In other words, 1 month is a year. So they get born and they go all the way to like puberty, to 12 or 13 years old in 1 year. A month is a year. And whatever they learn during those first 4, 5, 6 months is what they will learn to survive their whole life, because survival drives their mind. But when they haven't been given correction and direction to come out of that first year, they jump into excited state of mind, or they'll develop a fear, they'll develop an obsession, a compulsion, and they'll stay stuck there until they meet somebody like me or you that can ratchet the mind through their being stuck, because their minds will just re-trigger and do the same thing. Re-trigger.
Well, it worked, right? And all of us, some of us have that situation too. I mean, some of us will drink to excess every time something goes wrong in our life. We know it's not the right thing to do, but we'll do it anyway because it worked before. You know, and that's the kind of thing. I mean, even though what you're saying, I really strongly agree with, there's also the fact that during that year, they did experience some alternatives. I mean, maybe the way that worked the best, the thing they relied on most, was cowering or hiding. But there was the odd time where they did something else. I mean, the puppy got nursed. He had to have received milk from his mom. So you can still, if you, and that's where we come in. We find that thing in his past that will, no, try this behavior that worked for you before. It may not work for you reliably all the time because you didn't try it that much, but it did work once. And then we get them convinced that, you know what, this works. This works better. Sitting and greeting works better than cowering, you know, that kind of a thing. And I really believe in replacing. I don't know how you feel about that, but when I have a dog with a bad habit, I replace it. If his bad habit is chewing furniture, I'll replace it with fetching toys. You know, if it's cowering, I'll replace it with some kind of command I like go to your bed. Is that what you do as well?
Well, it's something along those lines, but what we can actually do, again, when we project our emotions and energy, because dogs, animals, are always in the moment. If I deal with a fearful dog, I just tell them, hey, you quit being afraid. You stop that. And then I'll get them and start taking them on a walk. In other words, they can only relate in their mind with what they're doing at the time in that moment. Well, because, see, most human beings will go, oh, no, don't be afraid, sweetie. Oh, it's okay. And we use this weak energy, and all we do is reinforce the fear instead of telling them to stop doing it and start driving their mind through the fear and going, hey, come on, let's go for a walk. Let's go do this. Hey, what's that? I'll take a fearful dog and have it take me through its house. Show me the kitchen. Show me this. Show me that. I won't let it stay stuck in that fearful state. I what I call ratchet the mind through that fearful state is what I do. And
you know, I think some of this is the timing. A lot of times I'll see an owner with a fearful dog, and let's say the dog's afraid to cross the sidewalk or get into a car or go up a staircase, something like this. Instead of kind of tough loving the dog to just walk up the staircase briskly and then praising it and cuddling it afterward, and then doing it again and again and again until the dog doesn't care and doesn't mind and actually enjoys it, the person will often cuddle it at the exact moment it's in its panic, the exact moment that it's on strike and not moving and shaking. And so that's what they're rewarding. That's what they're going to see again and again.
Exactly, exactly. The one thing in my experience is that the one thing your dog wants from you more than anything is in this emotions that we're talking about, these energies, these vibrations, they mm-hmm. want your pride. They want you to be proud of them. And when they start doing something that we want, that's my boy. What a good girl. Oh, keep that up. Go, go, go. Yeah, that's what we want. Don't be afraid. Keep coming on through it. In other words, the whole idea for me is supplying this strong emotion and energy and it being the word, because dog self-esteem is about helping its pack survive. And when we have every opportunity to be proud of our dog for doing what we tell it to do, that starts to build confidence. At least that's what I've found. And
some dogs really need a job. Like some of the golden retrievers, they really want to fetch for you. Some of the border collies are constantly looking for work. But sometimes a job can simply be comforting you, greeting you, doing little party tricks. Pugs like jobs too, everybody.
Sure. It's anything you can tell your dog to do. If it's wait at the door while you go out first, if it's sit and stay and wait, if it's this, if it's that, wait at the door if you let them to go into the backyard, just any opportunity you have to give them a direction and do something, it's helping their pack survive. It's like I teach in Florida here, it's still hot to walk in the daytime. So I teach a lot of dogs to walk on a treadmill. And I make it a job for them. Hey, I need you to move the floor. Because, I mean, I try to
think
of simpler,
but... dogs? Can we see dogs walking on a treadmill at muttman.com?
Actually, no. I've never really had a lot of video and had people following
okay,
me around.
I want to see that. I think that's pretty funny. Muttman.com does show you working with all different dogs, and it shows when you're on tour where everybody can catch you. So if you'd like to learn how to communicate to your dog better and get them trained really fast, this is the way to go with the Muttman.
It should happen in minutes, not weeks and months. If once we're in tune with how they communicate, it's like speaking dogs. And things should happen rapidly. They repeat it 10 or 12 times, and it should be a new habit for them.
Well, that would be nice. Think of all the dogs out there who aren't doing what they're supposed to, aren't going to the bathroom where they're supposed to, aren't staying quiet when they're supposed to, aren't coming when they're called. All these dogs, if they come see you, problem solved, right, Sandy?
Well, yeah. Stacy, but who's... Don't worry about it, but that's the idea. Most people aren't looking to have a world-class trained dog. Like when I was performing in Vegas in my own shows, I do it 24/7, and that's the time you have to spend to have a dog do things that people will pay you to see the dog do it.
Right.
But most people want their dog to sit and stay and walk on the heel and just be a well-balanced member of the family. And
mm-hmm.
we just need to spend those few minutes every morning and when we see them. And once we come from this Kung Fu diva attitude that I try to teach, it all just sort of starts falling into place. They become a pack member. And we block that excited mind because that's where all the problems are. get rid of the excited
everybody.
Mom.
So if you want to find your Kung Fu diva and you want to train your dog, it's pretty easy. Go to muttman.com. Thank you very much, Daisy.
Oh, Deb, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. It was my honor and privilege.
Thank you. Okay, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. Carol to answer your medical questions about your sick puppies and kittens. Coming right up on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
I really
do.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deb Wolf, calling from Canada, where it is not Thanksgiving up at Camp Good Dog. We did it a month early. Sometimes I just think we're gifted. That's what it is. So happy Thanksgiving to you Americans now that you've caught up to us. Welcome to the show, Dr. Carol. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, Deb. I'm delighted to join you and your pet-loving listeners.
Yeah, well, okay. So Do not let your dog eat all the gravy from the turkey out of the roasting pan, because if you do, he might die. You might end up in a merge. It's not going to be a good outcome. Right, Dr. Carol?
You definitely want to keep that in mind. And you don't want to let him eat that little pop-up thing that comes up, you know, when the butterball's all ready to go and that little thing pops up to let you know you've cooked it long enough. You don't want to let him eat that, nor do you want to let him eat the string. But if you keep listening to our show today, we are going to tell you how you can enjoy a healthy Thanksgiving meal right along with your pet.
You're such a tease. We're going to leave that till the end. You have to listen all the way.
All the way.
Because, yeah, you shouldn't be throwing it in the garbage. No, there's a way to do this the right way so your pup or your kitten gets a nice Thanksgiving treat but doesn't get sick from it. So gluttony is not the name of the game here, but a little taste, maybe okay. All right, so I heard this terrible story. It's a border story about Mexicans caught at the border, trapped, and they're going to be returned. But they're not people. They're dogs. And they were rescued, and now the rules have changed while they were in limbo, while they were at the border. It's sort of like when they left Mexico, it was okay. By the time they got to the border, the rules have changed. And now these dogs that have been rescued from Mexican streets are going to be euthanized. And not because they're sick or contagious or anything like that. It's because they don't have microchips, they don't have tattoos, they don't come from an approved kennel. A bunch of the different things that weren't in place when they left Mexico. But now they're stuck at the border. They've got 30 days to argue their case or they'll be put down. And I just think that's terrible. That's just terrible.
That is absolutely terrible. And you know, whether we're smuggling pets, people, or weapons, it's not good. Nobody wins. It's a great source of stress. You know, dogs in the situation that you just referred to, Deb, are not that much different, perhaps, a bit even more abused than these puppy mill, you know, puppies that you know, live in a 10 by 12 kennel for, you know, the majority of their life.
In this case, the person was on holiday, had the right idea. They saw these puppies and dogs that needed rescuing. They wrote home, emailed home, got homes for each and every one of them so that the dogs would have a permanent home. So they were going to fly home to Canada, and they, you know, came home, or drove home to Canada, actually. And they get to the border near Blaine, Washington, and that's where the dogs still are. So when I looked at them, you know, on the footage, it looked like a couple of pit bulls in the mix, too. I don't know if that helps or hurts their case. They look very young, like puppies. It does bring up other questions, though, like, aren't there enough dogs to rescue here? But then again, you know, when someone wants to do rescue work, shouldn't we help them? I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Carol?
You know, I'm with you all the way, Deb. I think that focusing on America might be a great place to start. Bringing these pets in, as you've described, from Mexico and who knows where else. You know, I as a veterinarian, I have to wonder if these rescue dogs were truly meant and prepared to be brought to the States and be placed in loving homes, or if, because of what you said and the lack of preparation that was taken with this particular group of animals, if maybe they were coming in for research or testing or university work, and consequently they weren't prepared or microchipped. You know, none of those things were done, perhaps because there was an underlying reason that we're not aware of.
Mm. Well, you know what? Since we're talking about heavy-duty news stories, I'm going to tell you about a couple more. There was a very small Shih Tzu-type cross toy dog killed last week in the Okanagan by a pit bull, and the pit bull was since put down. A week before that, in Vancouver, or days before that, a 72-year-old man walking a dog on a leash, a pit bull dog on a leash, encountered a woman walking a pug on a leash, and for some reason, the pit bull lunged at the pug, or the old man had the little dog, and the woman had the pit bull. And at first, it looked like the man had really done something heroic. He stabbed the pit bull to death, and he saved his dog, and there were no charges pending. But now it seems that the dogs had been pulled apart, and he kept stabbing it over and over and over and swearing and yelling, and there was much more involved. And it just, to me, there's this pit bull hysteria. I'm guessing that as these two approached each other, the whole time he was thinking about his knife and what he could do and what would happen and what if this and that. And dogs pick up on that stuff. If only they had just not crossed right beside each other. But they did. And now that pit bull's dead. And a week later, a little dog is dead. Why are there so many conflicts between pit bulls and little dog owners?
Well, you know, that's a good point. And your pit bulls are probably the most notorious breed as far as aggression, you know, and fighting, et cetera. And as, you know, this woman might have fallen in love with this pit bull and out of the, you know, love and kindness of her heart wanted to rescue the dog and offer him a wonderful home. By the same token, just because of the nature of the dog, you know, a pit bull may be walking along and see a pug and think, hey, you know, that looks like a little bit of lunch there. You know, the gentleman that had the pug obviously loved his pug and didn't want it to be hurt. You know, I think there's aggression, there's tension, there's stress. There's the natural genetic inborn tendencies, you know, of a pit bull versus a pug, as there are with a man versus a woman. You know, you've got dominance and you've got all.
Wait a minute, Dr. Carol, are you proposing that we, instead of having pit bull breed bands, we have human male bands? We have whole cities where no men are allowed. Can you imagine? It would be so cool. You could jog at night. Oh yeah, now you're talking. I'm liking the sound of this. Or maybe just like ladies' night, right? Vancouver's closed to men tonight. Sorry. Oh yeah, I'm liking that.
Ladies' night out. You know, I think it's funny. This guy was stabbing the pit bull with a knife. Was this just a little pocket knife that he happened to have in his?
It was just a little pocket knife. But it was the repeated, after the dogs were pulled apart and the roommate was holding the pit bull and he kept stabbing it. So there's the, and yelling things like, you effing pit bull, you deserve to die, etc.
You know, So. You know, you bring up a lot of good points, but here's one point that no one has brought up. We've got a woman that no one has spoken of walking a pit bull. Now, what do you see as the inherent problem here? We've got a woman who may love the dog and who may want to offer him a warm, loving home, which is great. But is this woman completely prepared in every way and shape and form to handle a pit bull in public should that dog encounter an adverse situation? And I think what we can all learn from this lesson is no, she was not. You've got
Yes, I agree with that. And she did not train that dog properly or get the experience or have the right equipment on it so that she could react properly. Do you know what? We are running out of time in our first segment. We have two more. So I think we should continue this discussion. And there's so much more in the news. And I know you're going to give out that Thanksgiving recipe.
We're going to talk about turkey time for pets of people.
There you go. And I do want to tell you about some horses that weren't fed enough. Okay, so stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. And I'm here with Dr. Carol, and we're talking pit bulls, which we rarely do. And we're just sparking off all sorts of issues. I mean, well, let's just talk so they can hear us, Dr. Carol. What were you saying last? Where were we in this?
You know, I was just making a point that whether this woman in the news that was walking the pit bull, whether she was walking a pit or a rat or a big, strong, you know, German Shepherd, I honestly doubt that it would have mattered. I think that before people rescue and or adopt, in particular, these big aggressive, you know, big dogs with aggressive tendencies, I think that there should be some kind of an education, a training situation, both for the individual and then for the individual with the dog, because you've got these people, and this doesn't just happen with big dogs, Deb. It happens with all kinds of dogs. The people just have no idea how to handle the dog. And the result.
Well, see, that's what comes in. You know, I agree with you there. There are Cane Corsos, and there are dogs that don't make the most hated breed list that are way more powerful and dangerous and quicker to trigger than a pit bull. So yes. There are some dogs out there that aren't just a danger to your little pug. They kind of look at your neighbors like they want to eat them for lunch. There's some out there that really are made that way, bred that way, been bred that way for a very long time. Just like your golden retriever is so good at swimming because it's been bred to do that. These dogs have a different specialty, and it isn't swimming. So I think sometimes people don't get that. But on the same token, what drives me nuts is the people who have small dogs and think they can let them do whatever they want because it's just a little dog. A little dog can bite a child's face. A little dog's not just a little dog. It's got a mouth. That bothers me too. I think people need to take their dogs around everything they want them to deal with and teach them how to deal with it. So there aren't these little going off tantrums happening everywhere and little accidents waiting to happen.
You know, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, but the situation that we're currently seeing with the woman and the pit bull and the man and the pug and all these stories, unfortunately, you've got people with animals, the animals aren't trained, and the people have no idea how to handle them. And as a veterinarian, I can also tell you, and I hate to say this, but there are many, many pet owners who love their pets deeply, but they're a little bit frightened of them. They don't want to get bitten or hurt. And that's a very reasonable and understandable. But when you have that little element of fear, even though you think you're the only one that knows it, not the truth.
The dog knows it. Oh, absolutely. Yes. If there's anything a dog can pick up on, it's that.
Right.
First
right.
and foremost.
Let
you know, they can
you.
Send a Doberman yes. into a room of hostages and hostage takers. And within seconds, that
yes.
Doberman will find the hostage taker
yes.
and kill him dead. No
yes.
mistakes. No,
no
mistakes. No room for error. Never do they ever make a mistake. That's how cool. That's how, you know everybody else is afraid. They don't attack the fearful people. That's how it happens. It's
they do,
amazing,
and it's,
right?
It's not only amazing, it is that sixth sense that the canine possesses. And you know, this is a little bit off topic, but, you know, with respect to the sixth sense, which is not the sense of smell, if you will, but it's the sense that the dog knows you're afraid before you even open the door. That's how strong that sense is. And Deb, this isn't related, but I just thought it was sort of heartwarming and interesting that they've got these detector dogs that, again, are working not only off the smell and the olfactory glands in the nasal cavity, but also the sixth sense located in, if you remember, the vomeronasal organ or gland. This one particular dog was trained to detect ovarian cancer. During the big tornadoes down in New Orleans, Hurricane Sandy, this particular dog had become disconnected from its owner because of, you know, the disarray and the rubble from the horrible storm. As the storm ended and people, you know, everybody was picking up the odds and ends, this dog that had been trained to sniff out ovarian cancer and who was owned by a woman that had ovarian cancer, the woman had died in the hurricane. The dog was alive, sitting there by her side. Never moved. I just think that stories like that are almost phenomenal.
And then you get the other extremes.
And recently,
we had 15 horses that were starved nearly to death. Some of them had to be euthanized, and some of them are being, you know, rehabilitated. But most of them were in plain view of the public, driving by day after day, seeing them. Finally, someone made the call. If you see an animal in distress, in pain, looks like it's injured, looks like it's just not eating, call the authorities.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, be an involved citizen. Don't just walk by. You know, it's just like the kids, the three girls in Ohio, for 10 plus years, kidnapped in that guy's basement. There was multiple calls and multiple people and, you know, red flags that went up, but everybody just kept walking away. And it took 10 years for those three girls, to be rescued, if you will. And that's because, you know, people don't want to get involved, or they turn their head or they walk away. And I think that we have to look at what's going on and look out for our neighbors and hope they look out for us, in all walks of life.
But animals really depend on us. And if you see an animal in distress, you know, it needs food. these people who own these horses are going to be facing 2 years in jail and $75,000 fines, perhaps. I mean, depending on if they can find them and catch them and convict them. But that's the kind of penalty they're looking at. And I don't know if that's enough, not enough. I'm not sure. But there's got to be a better solution than letting your animals starve to death.
Yeah, and that's
confined on your property.
You know, Deb, once again, and I continue to say as a veterinarian, but it is true, I continually receive phone calls from people that tell me all about some dog they have, and in many cases, it's a great big dog, and it's got all kinds of problems. And remember, the more you weigh, the more it costs. It doesn't matter what you do. And then the last word out of their mouth is they don't have any money. You know, if your finances are tight, it's great to love a pet, volunteer at a shelter, go to pet shows. But if you can't afford to put food on your table, why get a dog? Why subject the dog, you know, to that type of an environment? And why put yourself under that much more mental, physical, and financial stress? It's silly. We need to...
You know what, Dr. Carroll? We're running out of time in this segment, but we're coming back for one more. I want to ask you what you think, because this is really relating to... I was just downtown Vancouver the other day walking around, and I saw so many homeless people with the signs, you know, looking for money with dogs. And not going to like this. Okay, so we'll be back to talk
very
about
tough.
That. One happy topic. If you're listening in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, my area, if you're listening here, there are auditions going on now for Reality Cats on Reality Cat TV. So if you Google that, you can find out where to bring your cat.
Meow.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow, talk about like Real Housewives drama between cats on a set. Oh, man. There's obstacles. There's laser things. They have to compete sort of Survivor style. It's going to be interesting. Okay, so Dr. Carroll is going to come back with us, tell you how to reach her, tell you her thoughts on these dogs that live on the streets. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy, and I love you, and you know that I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
We have to finish that topic about homeless people with pets. They do get a little bit of an allowance for it, and they do claim they need it for their safety, which I totally get, especially when I see the homeless teenagers. I feel so bad for them. When I see a homeless teenage girl, I'm glad she has a dog. But is that wrong? I mean, it's some of, I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Carroll?
You know, I think that if a homeless individual is able to adopt a homeless dog, and together they can bond, keep each other company, and offer each other a little zen, hey, I think it's terrific.
I don't think it's as bad for the dogs as it is for the humans living outside with their fur coats.
I think that according to my knowledge, which isn't that high, I think that a lot of homeless people want to be homeless and have chosen that lifestyle, at least according to some of the information that I've come across. And for them to, you know, partner up with a stray dog and give each other love and support and warmth and
security. Security is a big deal. You sleep, he watches you. Nobody sneaks up and steals all your stuff.
Absolutely. It's a best friend, a protector. You can scrounge for scraps together and do the best you can. And that's, dog is truly a man's best friend. There's no doubt about that.
I've decided the next time I walk down Granville Street, I'm bringing dog biscuits because I felt so bad. I didn't want to give money to the people. I was like conflicted. But next time I'm bringing dog food, cans of dog food and dog biscuits, because that's what I'm going to do. And feed the dogs. Anyway, so we've been talking about a whole bunch of things, and I know you want to give out your recipe and you want to tell people how to get a hold of you, but we have not said anything sexy today, Dr. Carol, and I know the engineer on this show is a little bit disappointed in us.
Gosh.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to throw him a bone here?
Well, we have talked about this chemical neutering of dogs that eliminates the need for these nudicles, which are the little cosmetic testicular implants, if you will.
Right.
And I don't know how our engineer Don is feeling about that, but
he's probably crossing his legs. Yes.
He's probably crossing his legs, and I'll bet you that he's thinking about what he is going to have for Thanksgiving dinner, right along with his four-legged friend.
Oh, you know what? I just got an IM. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to share this, but he's telling us he wants one. A nudicle.
He wants a nudicle. Well,
I don't know. Maybe it's for, he wants two. Maybe he wants them as bookends. I'm not sure what he wants them for.
There you go. And, these nudicles they're going to have all kinds of nudicles that no one's going to be buying, because we no longer have to put a pet under general anesthesia or have surgery to neuter a dog. We simply give a little injection into each testicular sac. And therefore, all you guys worried about the cosmetic appearance of your neutered male dog, don't have to worry about getting nudicles any longer, because from the outside, no one will know the difference, whether he's neutered or intact.
I think that this is going to be, there are going to be vet clinics all over the place with excess of these, trying to sell them off on Craigslist. I think I'm going to buy these. I think these are awesome. These would make amazing bookends, really. Very funny.
By the way, folks, they're getting ready to do the same thing for female dogs. So for all you people worried about the big, long operations, they are doing them a new way. They're just snipping those little fallopian tubes and making things very simple. So
I always wondered that. Why can a human have her tube snipped or tied and a dog can't? Why do they have to do a full hysterectomy on a dog?
The truth of the matter is, Deb, they don't. And that information, which has been going on apparently in Europe for some time, as has the chemical neutering, is now making its way into the United States. So people, you're going to have lots more options. The most important option is, if you can avoid it, don't spay or your noodle and spay or neuter your pet until they're about 6 years old. That way you'll get a 33% increase in your dog's health, wellness, and longevity.
But if your dog is out of control, if your dog or cat is likely to escape, if there's no way you can prevent them from breeding, then you should neuter or spay them right now. That's the truth.
The real reason that we neuter dogs, male dogs, aggression, urine marking, and unwanted little puppy dogs. Reproduction, the behavior and aggression are the three top reasons that we perform these spays and neuters. But all the stuff that we were taught about avoiding cancer of the reproductive tract, et cetera, is exactly the opposite of what we've been taught. And that goes into arthritis and a whole bunch of other things that we'll have to cover on another day.
Well, yeah, because you got to give out your recipe, you promised, and how they can reach you.
Exactly. Hey, for all of you that would like to call us, I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. We're here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, just east of Cleveland. You can call us toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2976. 2765. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com. And I would like to announce that this Wednesday, December the 5th, we are opening the first integrative center of veterinary medicine in the state of Ohio.
Well, okay,
I
your
thought
recipe.
That was pretty exciting. Now,
that
if you
is
wanna,
very exciting. Integrated meaning
yes,
you don't have to pick and choose, either go the straight way or go the new age way or go the traditional way. You can get it all, right?
We combine the Eastern with the Western, or the herbs with the natural, with the traditional, and offer the best of both worlds for each and every pet. And if you want to share a little bit of Thanksgiving dinner with your pet, remember that turkey, not the fat, not the skin, but the actual turkey meat, is excellent, good for your dog and cat. Cranberries contain vitamin C as well as fiber and manganese. They're also an antioxidant that prevents adhesion of bacteria to the urinary tract wall, which is why we use cranberry to lower urine pH and help to prevent urinary tract infections. Cranberries are just fine for dogs and cats. Sweet potatoes, got a little bit of vitamin C, a little beta carotene, some fiber and potassium. Sweet potatoes are as good for you as they are for your dog and cat. And finally, offer a little veggies. Green beans are great. They're loaded with vitamin A, vitamin K, potassium, folate, iron, and manganese. And they're just fine for dogs and cats. You can feed your dog or cat the same amount of food that you normally do. One third turkey, one third sweet potato, and one third green beans is perfect. You can even offer your pet a little bit of pumpkin, very rich in vitamin A and fiber. For dessert, I would steer clear from the pumpkin pie because of all that sugar and eggs and everything loaded in the crust. But you could actually make a tofu pumpkin pie and consider sharing that with your pet.
Hey, I just want to say yuck on the tofu pumpkin pie.
Yuck,
okay, so Dr. Carol, I did have an email question someone sent in. It says, it seems like puppies and dogs go through a voice change, like boys and men. Do cats' voices change from when they're kittens to when they're adults?
You know, not to my knowledge. And for your caller talking about the voice change, I think it's important to understand that sometimes dogs that have a low thyroid, the thyroid hormone is low, thyroid hormone also controls the hypoglossal nerve, which controls the larynx. So sometimes if a dog is low on thyroid hormone, they lose their ability to bark. So it gets real squeaky. So if anybody's got a male dog or female dog with a squeaky bark, have the thyroid checked. You replace that thyroid hormone and their bark comes back to normal.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool. My blue heeler had a squeaky bark, but I think that's just because she was a blue heeler, right?
And it very well may have been.
Yeah. Okay. All right, everybody. We've run out of time with Dr. Carol. I hope you all have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. A little bit of nice meat for your pets, not the skin, not the gravy, no binging. Take it easy on them because you don't want to be visiting Emerge, right, Dr. Carol?
Exactly. And if you got a pet with IBD or a weak tummy, maybe just a little bit of turkey, a little piece of sweet potato, you know, just a couple little top dress the dinner. Don't make any abrupt changes so we avoid the vomiting and the diarrhea
right.
issue.
Until next time, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.